The reading today is from John, chapter 20, starting at verse 19 to the end of that chapter. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have promised to be with us by your Spirit to guide and help us. We pray that as we come to your word, you may challenge us, provoke us, and teach us what you want us to do in your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What a lovely day it is. Nice sunny morning. Not for everybody, of course. Do you ever have doubts? There seems to be quite a bit about doubts this morning. I'm not talking about faith here, I'm talking about doubting. I mean, about everyday things. For example, phrases that come to mind are these: "I doubt that," and "I'm having my doubts." When you hear nations or international people talking, I wonder, when you hear them promising all kinds of things, you think, I wonder. We've had quite a lot of examples recently I'll sort something out within one day or 4 weeks or whatever. And those kind of things make us challenge and think. And perhaps it's down the street, you meet someone and they say, okay, I can do that for you. And you think, I'm not sure whether they are, whether they're going to. So we have doubts. And that is a reality for many people, having doubts. Going back to our reading, earlier than in today's reading, we have this story. We have Jesus learning of the illness of Lazarus. He died. And his sisters sent a message to Jesus to to come and in his illness and help him and that kind of thing. Jesus was 2 days away from Bethany, and he was over the other side of the Jordan. And he waited for 2 days. I think, why did he wait? Why didn't he go? Was it because he wanted to show his power over death, and the power of the resurrection? And he said later, I waited so that you may believe. You may believe. So, after he said that, he was going to go to Bethany when he talked to his disciples about that. And they said, actually, Lord, we don't think you should go to Bethany. It's dangerous. Why was it dangerous? It was dangerous because earlier the Jews had tried to stone Jesus, and Bethany was just 2 miles from Jerusalem. So he was now across in the Galilee area. And so he said that he would come. But at that time, it was this. It was Thomas who was brave enough to say to the rest of the disciples this: let us also go that we may die with him. We have this kind of thing about doubting Thomas. But this is what he was saying. He was brave enough to say that. Let us go with him, that we may die with him. He knew what danger there was lying ahead. So, after Jesus' death, and then the disappearance of his body, the 11 and the apostles and other disciples were absolutely in shock at what had happened, as we would have been, absolutely in shock. And then that first day of the week, they were gathered together in an upper room. And what were they in? They were gathered together and locked in. Why were they locked in? Because of fear of the Jews and the Jewish leaders. They were surely afraid. And then suddenly, dramatically, in the middle of them was Jesus. What? What? You know, when you have something that's natural and something can shock you, when you have something that's supernatural, it's even more of a shock. And so they were in real shock. Wouldn't we have been? If Jesus suddenly appeared now, we'd be completely startled. Huh! What's this? Is it a ghost? Is it a ghost? That kind of thing was in their minds because they were in shock. So Jesus said this: why are you troubled, as we heard? And why do doubts arise in your minds? Why? And so he invited them to touch him, to put their fingers in his side. And that physical thing he invited them to do. We don't hear that any of them actually did that. But what we do believe is this, that he was comforting them. He was reassuring them. He was commissioning them to go out in his name. I am sending you, he said. That was reassurance, I trust. But they weren't really with that, you know. And to convince them, what he had to do was say, can you give me something to eat? And they gave him a bit of broiled fish, and he ate the fish to prove that he was really alive, that he was really there. But Thomas wasn't. We don't know why Thomas wasn't there. Maybe he was out somewhere, brave enough to go out on his own on that incredible day. And later that evening, as we know, he came back and they told him that Jesus had appeared, and he doubted. Not surprising, is it really? I mean, what an amazing kind of story. Have they got it really right? Not surprising. But he was questioning them. What is it all about? What's happening? What were they saying? Were they feeling uncertain about it? It wasn't a rejection of belief for Thomas, but he wanted real evidence, real proof, before he could believe that Christ had risen. And then as we read, a week later, they were all together in that same room, again still locked in, afraid to go out into the city perhaps then. And again, Jesus suddenly appeared, saying as he'd said before, "Peace be with you." As he says to us, "Peace be with you." A reassurance. And then he turns to Thomas. He turns to Thomas and he speaks to him, "Thomas, put your fingers here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Here was direct evidence for Thomas that Jesus had risen, that Jesus was alive, that he was here. But for Thomas, he didn't need to touch any part of Jesus' body. And his response was this, "My Lord," which was referring to Jesus, "and my God," referring to God the Father. Thomas's wavering had ended. Then in Matthew's Gospel, right at the end of Matthew's Gospel, when the disciples had gathered at the place where Jesus was going to ascend from, it says they worshipped him, but some doubted. Even at that point, some doubted. So you see, it was not just Thomas who doubted. It was a whole lot of people and the disciples. It was many. And Jesus did not condemn them for doubting. And he doesn't condemn you and me for doubting if we have doubts. Chinny MacDonald, the director of the think tank Theos, said on this week's Thought for the Day, referring actually to Thomas, spoke about Thomas, and then quoted Pope Francis, who had said this, that we need not be afraid of doubt. We need not be afraid of doubt. Crises of faith are not failures against faith. A faith without doubts cannot advance. That's interesting, isn't it? A faith without doubts cannot advance. And then she said, doubt is a part of human experience, and doubt is part of our journey of faith. And an American theologian called Sean MacDonald, no relation at all, he's a white American, she's black African, said this, doubt is not rejection of belief, but holding belief with hesitation and uncertainty. And when people think that belief requires certainty, doubts can be paralyzing, painful, and sometimes even lead to despair if you have doubts. Let's hope that's not the case for you and me. Circumstances and difficult events may happen to us which may cause us to have doubts, even though we believe that God is real and is alive and with us and keeps his promises. How much more may be the case for those of our brothers and sisters in Christ who are facing severe persecution, hardship, famine, disasters, loneliness, and things like this. But God is with them as he is with us. About Thomas, there was a bit of a tradition that says there was, and there is some evidence for this, that Thomas took the gospel, the good news, to India. And there's an Indian church called the Mar Thoma Church, or the St. Thomas Christian Church, which has a tradition that said, yes, he did come. He did spread the gospel. and he died his death in Chennai, which is in the southern part of India. Thomas followed his Lord and honoured him, even though he'd had doubts. And Jesus said this to Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed." And then, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." We are blessed because I hope that you have believed, even though we have never seen Jesus. And at the end of the reading that we had, this Jesus added, John added, "Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." That's the encouragement. Even if we have doubts, if we believe, we have life in his name. That applies to each of us, as I said, even if we have had or have doubts. Amen.